Thank you, Brother Brown. Let's lift our hearts to the Lord. Amen. All over this house, would you help me magnify God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really love Him. Let's really, 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 really love Him. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know what time it is. Let's love God. Let's praise Him. Let's magnify the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I recognize tonight, I stand between you and lunch. And in some people's lives, that's a very dangerous place to be. But I also feel that I stand with you right now on the precipice of a sweeping move of God that will move into this tent. It's already here. Hallelujah. God wants to minister to our spirit. So enjoy the word of the Lord that I have heard already. I thank God for hearing the message about the word and then about prayer. And you put those together and something is going to happen. It's bound to happen. Appreciate the opportunity to stand behind this desk. But more importantly, I appreciate the opportunity to be living in the last and final days of the church that's on this earth. This is a glorious time to live for God. I said, this is a glorious time to live for God. Oh, hallelujah. I have seen the demonstration of God the last several weeks, more powerful than I have ever seen it in my entire life. My internal man right now is quivering under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because I believe that we are living in the last of the last of the last days. Jesus is about ready to catch His bride out of this world. I said, Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. Oh, hallelujah. He is coming. Let's give Him a hand praise of thanksgiving. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The book of Habakkuk, the Old Testament writer, if I could direct your attention for just a couple of moments. I trust that my remarks can remain brief this morning, but I want to linger in the presence of the Holy Ghost as long as He would ordain. I want to follow hard after Him. Habakkuk chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. The vision will speak. And not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I believe that the Lord wants to open our hearts and our minds now and get a full understanding of the vision that He is bringing to His church in the closing days upon this globe. I want the vision to impact my spirit this afternoon. I want it to get all over my heart. I want you to lift your hands with me right now, and I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray that God would anoint you right now, that He would help you, that divine illumination would walk inside this tabernacle right now, and that we could follow hard after God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, let us to see this. Help us to get a hold of this. In the name of the Lord. Somebody, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Oh, hallelujah. God, we are standing in ground we've never stood. We are living in days, God, not of the past, but of now. I want you to help us to get the vision. God, let it drive us. Let it motivate us. Let us receive it. That it can propel us, God, into the dimension of the supernatural that you're desiring to lead us into right now. I pray, dear God, the demonstration of your glory in this tabernacle now. I want you to bring your power, your deliverance, your understanding. Bring revelation this afternoon. Let it affect us. Let healing sweep across this place. Let salvation sweep across this place. Bring revelation in this tabernacle today. Peel back the scales, God, of our humanity. Allow us to peer into the realm of the holy and understand the purpose of the church today. In Jesus' name we pray. And somebody shouted hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. To say that we live in extraordinary times today is lacking in description, and it's redundant as far as the efforts of man to try and describe the life that all of us are a part of today. I feel so compelled to preach to you this morning or this afternoon that we are not slipping back into yesterday and just reliving some of the scripture that we read about in the book of Acts. But I feel that God is taking the church today to arenas that the church has never before experienced, either biblical or in your own mind historically. There is something powerful that is being loosed across our world that has great and powerful implications in the realm of the supernatural. Our earth today is feeling the effects of the closing days of time that are rapidly closing down upon us. Every day, approximately 140,000 people die, while at the same time, 340,000 babies are born. Our population grows by 200,000 souls every day. The equivalent of a new metro area is born every 5 days. A new USA is born every 3.5 years. A new Canada is born every 21 weeks. There will be 1.4 million people in the world next Sunday than there were this past Sunday. I've come by to tell you this morning that it is time for us to get a hold of the vision of God and allow the burden of it to cause us to run to the far-flung corners of this world and allow them to understand revival's not on its way, but revival is here right now. I've come to preach to somebody this morning that we are 17 months, 75 weeks, or 521 short days away from a brand new millennium. 17 months from today, it will be a new millennium. Just a short 75 weeks. Put it down, just 521 days before we are ushered into a new realm of time. But friend, it's not just marks on the wall for me. It's not just dates on a calendar nor ticks on a clock. There is something that's stirring the soul of my spirit, and a recognition is coming to me today that we are living on the precipice of the most powerful unveiling of the glory of the Holy Ghost that this world has ever seen. I've come to preach to somebody today. I refuse to defer the glory of God for another hour. I refuse to defer revival to this afternoon or tonight. There is a fire kindled in the depths of my spirit right now. I've come to tell somebody that God's trying to talk to the church and said, I'm going to give you a vision, but when you get it, you better write it, and you better make it plain so they that read it can run. Oh, let's clap our hands to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I feel so good in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah to God. It thrills my heart to hear about the evangelistic efforts that are moving concerning this camp meeting this week. It is the will of God. I've come to preach to this camp meeting, I believe, directly hearing from the Holy Ghost this morning. I come unabashed and unashamed to pour my heart out to this congregation that sits inside this tent today. I don't feel nervous. I don't feel threatened. And I don't feel afraid to tell you what's burning down on the depths of my soul. I've been seeing revival like I've never seen it in all of my 40 short years that I've lived. I've been raised in a Pentecostal home, raised in a preacher's home. My daddy's a preacher. My mama's a prayer warrior. But honey, I ain't never seen the things that I've been seeing the last few weeks as to what God is doing in this earth. I want to preach to you, Camp Meeting 98. It's time for God to reveal to you and I the purpose for why we're here and why this tent's erected and why we've come to Santa Maria. Honey, Jesus is coming. I want to tell you today, the Lord's about to return. God's about to catch his bride and take her out of here. It ain't time to hold back. It's not time to go back. It's not time to be intimidated. It's not time to get nervous. My God, it's time to have revival. It's time to write the vision and make it plain. Hallelujah. Our world is disturbed today. The brilliant minds of the computer world, they are frustrated because of the YK2 problem. Don't understand how they can rectify the internal clock of the computers that are running our world. They are concerned that it could shut down in 521 days and our communication could be lost and our travel could be lost and our utilities could stop and the wheels of this world would halt and they would grind slow. They are concerned about the problems that are happening globally. I want to remind you, while we share a temporary boost of prosperity in our economy right now, it's not that way around this world. Our world is in trouble. The global economics are shaky. There are still nations that are dying with famine. Look at Sudan and understand the trouble that's going on globally. What's all of this about, this phenomenon of global weather patterns, of an El Nino, of heat that's burning up countries, of crops that lay destroyed in the fields? I've come to preach to you today. We're not having weird weather. We are just seeing a sign in this earth and a sign in the heavens that Jesus is about ready to get his church out of this world. Honey, they can fix the internal clock on a computer, but the divine clock, its hand is rapidly sweeping toward the spot that is going to punch the up button, and the church is going to get out of here. I'm telling you, these are glorious times. These are powerful times. These are supernatural times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But tell you something, our world knows something's going on. Our world knows something's going on. Meteorologists recognize the fact something's going on with this weather thing. The astronomers understand something's going on. There's too many unexplainable mysteries in the heavens. We're finding too many galaxies. We're finding too many that we cannot explain. Something's going on. I want to tell somebody, if you've ever read Psalm 18, you will find out that from the throne of God proceed lightnings and thunderings. You can look at me however you want to look at me today, but I am firmly convinced that it is nothing but the revival of a supernatural world, and God is dispatching divine help to a world that needs God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Our world knows something's going on. They recognize that something is happening in the world and in the realm of the supernatural. I read an article in The Time or either the Newsweek just a week or two ago concerning a sweeping audience that some nighttime radio personality is amassing in America. a man by the name of Art Bell, who has some kind of a radio program that deals in the realm of the mysterious or the unexplained. It was not long ago that somebody in the church that I pastor came to me and said, I don't understand it all, but I've been listening to this guy, and he's been talking about the realm of the supernatural, and people's been calling in saying, I've got unexplained feelings. I cannot quite describe what's going on. And so I turn him on. I begin to listen to him late in the night, and I begin to hear him continually use a phrase. He says, I don't understand it. I cannot describe it. I can't make any sense out of it. But this is the term that he used. He said, we are on the verge of a quickening. A quickening. Now, this is not a man that's baptized in Jesus' name. This is not a man that's talked in tongues. There's a glory the Holy Ghost filled his soul. This is not a man that knows there's but one God. This is not a man that lives according to the dictates of the heart. But he is a man that says, and swear in his supernatural, he is reaching for something that this world hasn't been able to give him. Oh, come on, camp meeting. Come on, help me a little while here today. There ain't no way we can reach 1.4 million more people by next Sunday just having the same kind of church we've been having the last 100 years. There ain't no way we can get it done. Hallelujah. I told God this morning, I got awakened early in the morning. I rolled up to pray. I said, God, I got to get a hold of you. And I was about to wake up my wife when I realized she ain't in the bed. And I got out of bed and heard her in travail praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something. There is a shaking going on. There is a stirring in the realm of the Spirit. God's wanting to break in and do a glorious work. Come on, one God, Jesus' name, Tuckonkin Church. If the world knows something's going on, it's about time for the church to get the vision and recognize, my God, even the world knows that there's a realm of the Spirit. Something's going on. I want to tell you what that something is. Jesus is coming. I said Jesus is coming. I said that 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 Jesus, he is on his way. Hallelujah to God. We don't have 4 more months like Jesus said. Pray ye not that we got 4 more months. He was saying, don't say you got time. I'm telling you, honey, we ain't got no more time. It's not time to get better organized. It's time to get better fired up, better charged up, better prayed up. Hallelujah. We are hurling at warp speed towards a global economy. We are hurling at warp speed toward common currency. Last week in the Union Tribune, I read the articles that captivated me of a brand new medical identification number. I don't know if any of you read it, but I got the article. They talked about it in my newspaper, how that every child at birth is going to be given a medical provider number, and it's going to be implanted into the... Do you hear me? It's going to be implanted into them, and it will go wherever they go. If they shift providers, it's going to have their genealogy. It's going to have their medical history. It's going to have their family. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is on his way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are living in a world that is almost shockproof. We are living in a world whose emotions have been run through the gamut. We are living in a society who has become hardened and calloused to reality. The only thing that moves them is something that's beyond the norm. I've come to preach to you. We're not going to reach our world by dead teachers teaching dead Sunday school lessons. Somewhere, we got to get a vision that God filled me with the Holy Ghost to set my soul on fire, to set my church on fire, to set my home on fire, to set my neighborhood on fire. I want to preach people today out of your comfortable phase. I want to get you out of your little comfort zone. I feel like God's wanting to turn us absolutely upside down and inside out. Praise God. The vision that God's wanting to bring to us is that God is in the process of revealing His bride to the world. I'm preaching right now. I'm writing the vision that He told me to write. And I'm going to make it plain in this house. The charismatic movement has ran amok among us and outside of us long enough. Well, hallelujah. I said the charismatic movement that's run among us and outside of us has run amok long enough. Let me tell you the damage that it's done. It hasn't affected my doctrine. It hasn't affected my love for God. It hasn't affected about how I feel about God. But it's made me leery to walk in the realm of the supernatural. You didn't hear me just then. I said it's made us all leery of walking in the realm of the supernatural. Because we've been fearful. Somebody's going to say it's a lot of rain. Or somebody's going to say it's blabbing and crabbing. Or somebody's going to say it's... I'm going to tell you what it is, honey. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. It's God wanting to reveal His bride to the world. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, in this camp meeting, we need to see miracles on these seats, on these pews, in these altars, on your people. We need to plug into the mind of the Holy Ghost. We got to plug into the mind of the Spirit. We've got to get out of our realm of doing it our way and say, oh my God of heaven, you've got to do it. You're the only one that can do it. It's got to be a work of the Holy Ghost, and I'm telling you, it's here.
There's great transition that has taken place in our universe, in our world, and in the church.
I feel the Holy Ghost so strong right now. I said there's great transition going on in the earth, in the church, and in the spirit world. Great transition. You feel it right now. God has taken, and it's taken this time to get here. It's taken us to make this little journey. We've had to go through some mountains and go through some valleys. We've had to go through some rights and go through some wrongs. We've had to learn how to do this and learn how to do that. But all of it has brought us to this place. I want to tell you something. We are not going to stop here, but we've never been here either. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I don't pastor a very large church, but it is growing. It's growing. It's blowing my mind. People getting the Holy Ghost all the time, everywhere. I want to preach this to people that don't believe this here this morning. Because, honey, I'm telling you, you're going to believe it when you see it. And you're going to see it. I've seen the past 30 days, a church about 150 people, sacrificially. Give close to $50,000 cash. And it's not because of no program. It's because of a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. And uninvited people started coming to an altar and throwing things in the altar. Come on, we talk to ourselves about not being able to have a revival in California because of the money. The money's here. The money's ours. We got all we need. Hallelujah. I want to tell you some things. I have had more jewelry brought to me in the last 2 months than I've ever seen in my life. Jewelry. I'm talking about wedding rings, earrings, necklaces, all that stuff. People bringing it to me. Now, you say, yeah, but that's because you're teaching them. They're first-time visitors. Amen. Ain't nothing preached about an outward standard of holiness. Ain't nothing preached about separation from the world. But they were seeing the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost. And they said, here, do with it whatever you got to do with it. I have sold so much jewelry in our city that they started fingerprinting me. And the man keeps asking me, where are you getting all this jewelry? Where's this stuff coming from? I said, I want to tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from a red hot Holy Ghost, one God, tongue talking, Jesus name, revival. Not long ago, he said, we got to take your picture because we got to file it with the police. And I said, all right, you take my picture and you tell them to call me and I'll tell them how to get rid of this stuff. I'm telling you, it's time to get the vision. It's time to get it. It's time for miracles. It's time for signs and wonders. It's time for mass healings. It's time for mass baptisms. It's time for mass infillings of the Holy Ghost. There is transition going on in the church. Now, I don't mean this mean. But one of the things God's been showing me. Wait a minute. Are you saying God's been showing you something? That's exactly what I'm saying. God has been showing me things. Yeah, but they're going to talk about you. God. I'm seeing it. One of the things that God's been showing me. First of all, he is in the process right now of revealing his bride to the world. Now, contrary to what some may think, and I don't want to get into all of your eschatology, but I am going to get into it a little bit right here because I'm preaching. I'm tired of this holding out to the end mentality. I'm tired of, well, I'm just hanging on mentality. I'm tired of the attitude that's prevalent in a lot of people. We're just going to hold on, and God's going to come and get us out of here while this world is collapsing around our ankles and everything's going upside down and on its way to hell. Honey, I want to tell you what I see. I see the groom that's gone to the closet, and he's got his hand on the door, and he's opening the door. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a bride that's kept herself holy, that's kept herself right. That's right doctrinally. That's right scripturally. I see her emerging on a global platform. Come on, friend of mine. You ain't going to convince me that the wedding ceremony is given for the groom. You don't throw that elaborate party and have all them flowers and spend all that money for the groom. I was just we cut to the chase. The groom would say, come on, preacher, marry us. I'm out of here. Flowers are good. Nice cake, nice punch. Thanks for the gift. See ya. Come on. Come on, don't look at me that way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Do you know the purpose of the ceremony of a wedding? It's to showcase the bride. Everybody stands. Everybody in attendance. Everybody that's been invited. Everybody that's been bidden. The house is decorated. The flowers are in the pots. The candles are lit. The carpet's rolled out. The music plays. Everybody stands. Every head turns. And here comes the bride. I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you, we don't have much time. The bride's waking up and she's walking. I'm telling you, the bride ain't anemic. She's not weak. She's chaste. She's virtuous. But she's strong. She's bold. She's powerful. I'm telling you, God's promised it, and he's going to fulfill it. The captive will be freed. The blind will see. The lame will walk. God has pronounced it, and he will fulfill it. God's here right now. We heard the word preach about. We heard prayer preach about. You put word and prayer together, you're going to get a vision. I'm here to preach you the vision. It is time for global or worldwide revival. It is time. It's on us. It's happening. I'm not waiting. I'm having it.
the second part of this vision. And here's a part that somebody's going to bow up against right now. But I'm going to tell you before you bow up, your arms are too short to box with God, honey. Second part of the vision is that our saints are going to evangelize the world. I'm going to tell you something. Global evangelization is not in the hands of some elite group of preachers. There ain't enough preachers ever called to reach this world. You may pastor 1,000 people, but there's only one pastor there. But you've got 1,000 evangelists. The second part of this revelation is God is going to anoint the pew. God's going to equip them. He's already put it in them. Now it's time to loose them and let our congregations go. I will preach on for this. We are in the midst of a transition. I believe the pew's going to start doing what the pulpit's been doing the last 100 years. I believe that God's setting our churches on fire, and our pews are on fire, and our saints are on fire, and young men are on fire. Shatabahaya. Hikatalabo shakatabahaya. Shakatabahaya. Hikabasa. I want to preach to precious saints of God. You wish that God would have called you to preach. He didn't call you to preach, but He called you to evangelize. He called you to reach a world. You can preach on the street. You can preach in your house. You can preach in your neighborhood. You can preach on your job. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost, and I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There is a transition going on. I said there's a transition going on. If I can get the people that I've been trying to lead to have the vision that I've had, it's going to allow me to have a vision that I haven't had yet. I cannot go beyond this until I can transfer it to another. But honey, I'm telling you, I'm right smack dab in the middle of transfer all, and I feel a transition taking place. I shocked our church a few weeks ago. I told them we will never have church the way we've been having church. Ever. Again, ever. 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 You know what's been happening? I want to tell you what's been happening. People are getting the Holy Ghost, falling out. I'm seeing miracles. I'm talking about crippled people. Less than 48 hours ago, this past Sunday morning, I watched a man 68 years of age who was born with muscular dystrophy, who had a right leg that was at a 90-degree angle from his body, who listed and tilted so hard, who could not even walk. He drug his legs on a walker. People have been reaching. I told the church, I don't care what they look like, who they are, what color they are. I don't care if they can walk. You drag them in here, we're going to see God raise them up and heal their body. You know, it ain't, I'm telling you, you can do what you want to do. I'm not telling you how to pastor your church. You don't tell me how to pastor mine. I'm just following God. Hello? But I quit this mess. Okay, it's 10. Boom, 1, 2, oh. Yeah. Take an offering, testify, preach a little message and say, come on, God. I quit it. I quit it. I quit it. I quit it. I didn't quit preaching. We didn't quit taking an offering. In fact, I've never had as much fun taking offerings all my life because I'm not having to take them. Here's some of you having a hard time believing what I'm telling you right now. People's given motorhomes away. They've given cars away. They've given their life insurance policies. They've cashed them in. They brought gun collections. They brought antique collections. They have thrown stuff. Yesterday, when I was leaving, I walked out of my office, and there on the altar was stereo equipment. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to go right back down to that little pawn shop where they've been taking my pictures and say, here, what do you give me? We're having a revival.
Sunday morning. Power of the Holy Ghost began to sweep in that tabernacle. Amen. We weren't having no ordinary. You know what I'm talking about? Our little traditional little box. That ain't what was happening. The Holy Ghost swept in that place. People literally, first time there, fell out under the power of the Holy Ghost. Began to talk in tongues. And I watched that visitor as he drug his body down the center aisle on a walker. I watched him come down by the pulpit. And he tried to get her in. And he lifted his hands. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he stepped out of his walker. I'm not talking about Ethiopia. I'm telling you what happened 48 hours ago. I saw a mind. I want to tell you what's going on. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. That's Friday night. Friday night we didn't get out of church. I didn't leave the church till 1:30 in the morning. I leave the church till 1:30 in the morning. And we weren't eating pizza. I told the church at least four times. I finally said, I won't say it again. I told them, go home. They wouldn't. I want to tell you about Anna Estrada. I've known her for 2.5 years. I've pastored her for 2.5 years. Anna was crippled. I never saw her without that cane. Both her eyes crossed. Muscular dystrophy or MS, one of the two. I don't know what it was. A woman in excruciating pain. They had to pick her up, bring her to church, carry her back home. And I watched the sweeping power of the Holy Ghost begin to flow in that place Friday night. I'm telling you, people were getting the Holy Ghost. Nobody had to lay a hand on them. The Holy Ghost was knocking them out. Now I'm preaching what happened to me this past Friday night. I rebuke every spirit of doubt, fear, and unbelief out of this entire state. In Jesus' name. I want to tell you what's going on in California. Hallelujah. The reason the Holy Ghost fell in Jerusalem was that all the world assembled to Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you something. God is making California another Jerusalem because all the earth has come here. I saw that girl. Yeah, she told me later on. She said, I've been so afraid because I've been prayed for so many times. I've had people pray for me so many times. And the devil has beat me up because I had faith. And I'd go home the same. This was after the fact. This was Friday, this week. And I saw her on a cane. Leg, which one it was, left leg or right leg, all twisted. Trying to get down to the front. I never saw her come. There was too much Holy Ghost going on. It was about 11:30 at night. About 11:30. And God was talking to me about what I'm preaching to you right now. And he was showing it to me. And I turned on the pulpit, on the platform, and Brother Mark Morgan, who was preaching for us, was coming towards me. And he had a different expression on his face. And God said, you go lay hands on him right now. I want to show you something. So I walked over there. And I didn't ceremonially lay my hands on. The closer I got there, I thought, I'm going to hit him. That's how I was feeling. I'm just going to hit him. I'll lay hands on him, all right? I'll lay hands on that boy. And I walked over to him, and when our eyes met, it was like he was asking me a question. And I reached out and slapped him. Boom! Right on the chest. And when I did, I saw, here we go. I'm going to write the vision and make it real plain this afternoon, then we can go eat lunch. I saw, he's really lost it down there close to Tijuana. I ain't lost nothing. I've got more than I ever had in my life. I saw fire. I saw with my eyes that it wasn't red fire. It wasn't yellow fire. It wasn't orange fire. I saw white fire. So brilliant that everything was lost in the fire. And I saw it blow up right on top of that platform. I heard it with my ears go. And when I did, I heard a roar over here. And Anna had thrown her cane and was walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I got the cane in my office. He's bringing her out of her closet. I'm going to tell you something. God wants to bear his right arm. God wants you to understand you are full of authority. You are full of power. And the vision's yours. You've got to get a hold of it. Preachers, we need to loose our congregations and let them go. I am not concerned with a number on the wall. We're trying to get everything to happen inside our building. How in God's name are we going to be able to contain a worldwide revival inside our puny little buildings? See, here's a place that we've got to learn to shift. This is where we're going to have to learn to transition. We frustrate ourselves. There ain't nothing wrong with having buildings. I'm trying to get another one right now. There ain't nothing wrong with that. That's all the part of the plan of God. But that ain't the kingdom. And that ain't the answer. And that ain't the vision. You know who the buildings are for? Us. We like nice buildings. Nothing wrong with that. But honey, the revival that's sweeping this world cannot be contained in any building. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach until hell shuts up. I want to preach the horns off the proverbial devil's head. I want to preach till unbelief goes mute. I want to preach till doubt dies. I want to preach to a world that I am not going to barely make it, but the bride's going to get out of this place powerful, glorious, virtuous, but reaping a worldwide harvest. There is untapped potential on our pews and in our youth groups. Can I tell you this morning that I feel that we are walking into the aura of antiquity? I feel the presence of the Ancient of Days. I believe that the restoration of the past is here, but the unfolding of the future also. We are in a transitional period. It ain't going to be like it's always been. I say, God, give us vision. Pull the scales of flesh from our eye and let us peer into the glories of a world we've never touched before. Joseph's brethren, they weren't just after the dream. They were after the dreamer. Because you can't kill a dream. They thought they were going to get his dream. They were after the dreamer. Just like our fear is after the dreamer. And our intimidation is after the dreamer. See, I know what I'm feeling right now preaching this congregation. And the devil has fought me all morning long. You know you're going to be preaching to a mixed multitude. And there's going to be some people that don't like one thing about what you're saying. And there's going to be some preachers get upset. And there's this. And they're going to think you're full of wildfire. And they're going to think you're seeing things. I am seeing things. Let me say this. I'd rather have wildfire than no fire. But it ain't wildfire. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. Famine always follows a dream's departure. You got to run with a vision. I'm tired of the famine. This vision's plain enough to see. It's time to get up and have revival. It's time to have revival. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you are. Have revival. This past Sunday. Why are you making all these personal references? Because I'm preaching. Because I saw it. I'm tired of us preaching the philosophy of God and the philosophy of revival and having this church growth, this church growth, that church. Oh, you want to have church growth. I'll tell you how to have. Hello. I'll tell you how to have church growth. Get a vision. You don't need a book, a binder, a folder, a computer. You don't need a three-legged chicken that can talk in tongues. You don't need a power team. You don't need this gimmick, that gimmick, that gimmick. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get lost in the Holy Ghost. You need to get loose in the Spirit. You need to shuck your intimidation. You need to shuck all your fear. You need to put to bed doubt and fear and unbelief. I'm going to tell you something else that God told me. One of the things that's going to happen is God's going to remove our ego. God cannot give us revival if it feeds our ego. God cannot give us revival if it just feeds our ego. It don't matter who does it. It doesn't matter who preaches. I don't care anymore who preaches. Sunday night. Well, I'm going to tell you about Sunday. The church wouldn't leave, Mom. They wouldn't leave. There was a group that stayed all day long in prayer. I'm not talking about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 people. There was a group. All day long. They didn't eat. I didn't ask them to do it. You know, it's fun having a revival. I'm going to talk to you pastors right now that are so frustrated pastoring. You know what the antidote is? It ain't no sabbatical, honey. It's having a red, hot Holy Ghost revival. You let God pastor your church. He can do a great job with it. They stayed all day long. Stayed all day long. I went out, a brand new family. I took dinner. We talked. They said, I ain't never been nothing like this in all my life. Just moved from Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin. Kind of reserved people. You ought to see them in the Holy Ghost. And I came back after eating lunch. Hadn't shaved, hadn't showered. I didn't get ready to get freshened up. I didn't want to go home. I wanted to go back to church. And when I walked in the building, the power of God was thick in that place. People were on their back, on their face, talking in tongues. And let me tell you what happened. Out of that little meeting, a bunch of young men rose up. And they came to me and said, we're taking the bus. I said, take it. Take it. I didn't ask them, do you have license? Are you part of it? I'm sorry. It was probably bad. I don't know. I just believe if God can take care of me, he can take care of them kids in that bus. And they came back in a little bit. They had a bus full of young people. They went to the trolley station. The people just started piling the bus. My brother came running to me and said, I ain't never seen it in my life. He said, we didn't have to even beg him. It's just like they were there to get on the bus. He said, they got on the bus and then they sat down and then they got out and they started pulling people on the bus. And a bus full of them come Sunday night. They come walking in. One of them was a girl that walked in with a little bag. She was a runaway from San Francisco. She had just flown into San Diego. Just got into San Diego. Standing at a trolley station. Got on a bus and walked in the Holy Ghost apostolic. Tongue talking revival. I want to tell you what time it is. It's revival time. It's Holy Ghost time. It's tongue talking time. It's time for the move of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Come on. The king's business requires haste. It's time to run. But honey, run with a vision. Run with a vision. Run with a vision. God spoke several prophecies to our church of recent days. Man, I'm telling you, a year ago, I'd have felt funny saying that. Because I was afraid of what you'd say. I ain't afraid no more. For those of you that know me know I've always been a little bit intimidated and shy. But I'm not anymore. I broke through. Hallelujah. I want you to say some things God's been saying. He said, write the vision. And make it plain. I'm making it plain here today. I got notes. God said in the next 18 months. God said. Come on, we're doing things different. We got out of that little building over there. We're in a tent. It's okay to walk in the realm of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? He said in the next 18 months, you will see the greatest revival and power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost that you have ever seen. The year 2000 is a symbolic year. I am preparing you for the greatest changes that's going to take place in this entire world. Healings and miracles shall be expected on a regular basis because the power of God is loosed among you. Be strong, for I will break the chains and deliver people from bondage. Once they are delivered, their healing will automatically be revealed. Holiness will be without a question. Those living with incantation will dwell far above the issues of the flesh. There will be a very definite separation of the unholy and the holy. The extra power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost will be the deciding factor. We will not deal with personal egos, for the power of God will dwell so powerfully that no man will be the focal point, only the Holy One. Multitudes globally will receive the baptism of my Spirit before anybody even has the chance to lay their hand upon them. Let's stand. Come on, lift your heart to God right now, all over this house. I'm telling you, there's anointing in this congregation right now. There's anointing sitting upon these seats. You're not just another saint of God in a church. I've come by to tell you. God sent me here to tell you. God's raising you up right now. You are in the process right now of being raised up to be a flaming ball of fire across this world. I'm telling you, I don't know how you feel about it, but there are angels inside this house right now. There are ministering spirits that are being loosed from the throne of God, even while I'm telling you right now. It's walking in here. If you need a healing for your body, I want you to, you don't have to come out here. I just want you to step out right where you are. Get in that aisle. Lift your hands to God. You need a healing? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's here to heal right now. Come on, lift your hands to God. Come on, heaven's here. Heaven's in this tent. The glory of God's in this tent right now. Come on, it's going to walk through this house. Well, I feel it coming right now. You need the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and receive Him right now. Come on, you need an answer from God. You lift your hands right now and receive Him. Receive Him. You're standing next to somebody that's out here in one of these aisles. If you're a person of faith, I want you to reach over and pray for them right now. Every preacher in this house, if you could help me right now. You young men that feel a call of God on your life, I want you to reach over and pray right now. Come on, there's power in you. There's authority in you. There's anointing in you. Loose healing in this tabernacle right now. Loose the glory and the power of God in this place. I'm going to tell you something. A very powerful key to revive, in time revival, is the sacrifice of ourselves. Giving ourselves, giving our money, giving our time, giving our ability. Give it to God. I'm telling you, the fire is going to fall in this house. You're going to see it again, but we're going to see it in ways we've never seen it in all of our life. Come on, believe Him for it. Believe Him for it. Uraboshata.
We are standing.
Come on, you're standing in Holy Ghost.
On holy ground.
Hashata la bakata la boshata ya. Come on. Come on, Holy Ghost.